Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. So here at our office at the Futuro Media Group, we have this joke that our producer, Antonia Cerejido, is our resident millennial.
I mean, I hate the term millennial.
But, you know, she is a millennial because she's young. So one thing that we think of as defining millennials, younger people, is their attachment to their phones.
I mean, I am on my phone a lot.
Statistically, though, we should assume that she is. 72% of Latinos over 18 own smartphones, almost 10% more than the national average. And they're growing up on them. The average age that Latinos start using cell phones is 12. Here's Wilcauri Maynard, a 13-year-old at PS 161, a middle school in Harlem.
How important is your phone to you? Like, if you lost it, what would happen?
I would die.
You would die?
Oh, my God. That's so... I hate to say it. That's kind of the way I feel, too.
Wow.
Now, first, I'll try to use the Find Your Phone app on the thingy. I go on my computer, and I can't find it. I just buy a new one.
You just buy a new one?
Yeah.
Or you could easily cancel your T-Mobile.
I went up to PS 161 to hang out with these kids, and let me tell you, their phone game was on a different level. They were using apps I'd never heard of.
Mainly use Kick and Facebook.
What's Kick?
Kick is like a little messenger that you're able to talk to your friends.
Show me. How do you use it?
To text like my girl and my friends.
I mean, it's really clear that this is how these kids communicate, and they get a lot of love from their friends online.
And I get a lot of comments, too.
Like what?
Heart emojis.
From his boo.
You also get heart emojis?
I asked Pedro Gonzalez, nicknamed Swaggy P, how many followers he has on Instagram.
I don't got that much.
That's a ton of followers. How many is it? Say it. How many followers is that?
1,118.
Nice.
I'm sorry. How old is this kid?
He's 14.
And he's got 1,118 followers?
Yeah. I have less than half of that. I mean, and you, who are like a public figure, have more, but like not a ton.
No. My Instagram is growing, but slowly, which is an interesting thing for me because I think it's very young.
How many likes on average do you get on an Instagram post or a Facebook post?
A lot.
Like how many?
My highest was like 150.
150?
Yeah. In Instagram.
Okay. What about like if you put something up on Facebook, how many likes are you gonna get?
I'll get like 20, 30.
20, 30? Okay.
I don't know.
I'm gonna be posting stuff on Facebook like that.
For the students at PS 161, the number of followers they have and the phones themselves are status symbols.
What kind of phone is that?
I got an iPhone 5.
iPhone 5C.
And 4S.
God, I feel for her. Middle school boys really don't let up. They're making fun of her for having a 4S, which is an older model iPhone, but it's still not that old.
So does everyone have an iPhone, or what's the deal with that?
I guess iPhone is the new, like, good phone around.
Back in the 90s, the term the digital divide became very popular.
A digital divide that exists in this country.
The state of our region's digital divide and resources.
And that's the digital divide.
The internet and communication technology in general was gaining some serious momentum, but faster in some parts of the country than others. Areas like the Bible Belt didn't get as much access when compared to big cities like New York or San Francisco. But when it came to the actual divide, there was a lot of emphasis put on the role of the home computer.
Every child deserves a computer, but not every family can afford one.
I asked the middle schoolers at PS 161 about what they have at home.
All of you have smartphones. Do you have a computer at home?
No.
Okay.
I'm the only one with a computer.
What?
I'm the only one with a computer.
Do you use it?
Yes.
What do you use it for?
I use it a lot for gaming.
It's true that many Latino households still don't have computers, But unlike the 90s, today a lot of people access the web through their phone. So it's not that these kids don't have access to digital technology, like the term the digital divide would imply. But they are limited in some ways.
Okay, what about for like writing papers? Like, what do you use?
I use a computer most of the times.
Like at home?
Yeah. I use my phone.
Use your phone to write your papers?
Yes.
To write your papers?
Is that annoying?
Sometimes, because sometimes I flip and then I gotta flip it back to read the whole thing.
Oh my God. That's amazing. They're writing their papers on their phones?
I know, I couldn't believe it. One thing is an essay, you know? A whole nother thing is like if they're applying to colleges or if they're applying for a job, it really limits the kinds of things that they can do with technology. Their teacher, Kyle Goodstadt, is quick to tell me that the school is making changes to make technology more accessible to students.
We just got a $1 million grant from Apple. So next year we're going to have iPads in all the classrooms. And so we're trying to, like, get the kids using technology so that that's going to become a thing that's just super easy.
So, you know this.
That's crazy. So, how next year they get iPads and all that, but we...
Miguel Paulino, who you just heard, is giving his teacher a hard time because he's graduating. But his frustration is kind of justified. Miguel and his classmates could have really benefited from an iPad. It's not like he doesn't know how to use one. I mean, it's just like a big, giant iPhone. Last year, Nielsen released a study that called Latinos, quote, the trendsetters when it comes to digital device ownership and online usage. Basically, Latinos are adopting new technologies, like smartphones, like tablets, at a quicker rate than other groups. And so maybe the divide actually has more to do with how some systems, like schools, aren't keeping up with them. It's not just middle school kids using social media on their phones. It's entire families.
Well, my aunt, she uses Facebook, but I'll feel weird about that.
Yeah.
Like her just randomly texting me, like, that's just too weird.
Well, like what did she text you?
Oh, do you have a girlfriend? Oh, have you ever kissed her? Oh, blah, blah, blah. And like, that'll make me feel OD weird because I don't know, like, if I should tell her that kind, like, those stuff about me.
There is a clear economic reason why Latino families might choose to buy smartphones over a computer.
Certainly, if we start to think about the fact that Latinos, as a socioeconomic or demographic group, tend to have less capital.
This is Sara Inés Calderón. She's a programmer and is developing an app called Electa that aims to make voting easier for Latinos. We'll get more into that later in the show.
Latinos also tend to be bigger in terms of the number of people in that household.
Then it might not be worth it to buy a computer and hook it up to the internet when only one person can use it at a time.
Two parents and two kids, maybe sharing a computer isn't that big of a deal. But if you have more than two kids and they all have homework to do, that's not necessarily the most economic way to invest your money.
Now mobile phone companies like Sprint and Verizon offer cheap family plans.
You can have one bill, everybody can have a phone, and everybody can use the internet.
And mobile companies are very aware of this. I mean, if you search Verizon Family Plan on YouTube, this is the first ad that pops up.
Nosotros no vamos a dejar a Verizon salirse con la suya. Nos cambiamos a Sprint.
En Sprint tenemos el doble de datos de alta velocidad que Verizon Wireless, AT&T y T-Mobile.
But there's also an emotional reason for why having high-end and advanced phones is important to the Latino community. Will Kauri, who we heard from at the top of the show, tells me about how her mom uses her phone.
They've been talking to my family in DR because a lot of things be happening, like people are dying in DR from our family. And yeah, they be texting them to ask if they okay and all that.
Good. And so does your mom talk to them like every day?
When she comes from work, she be calling them and texting them.
Many Latinos are immigrants and need a way to stay connected with those abroad.
We which is really interesting because, you know, for me, in my family, the lifeline to my family back in Mexico, because we were the first ones of all of our family from Mexico, so was our phone, that, you know, the green phone on the wall with the long cord so mom could be talking while she was, you know, cooking and making dinner, etc. It was our lifeline back to Mexico.
Right.
So in our lives right now, phones and technology in general might be thought of as neutral, certainly not as political things. But the issue of access actually can have profound implications. Phones today, in particular smartphones, can do way more than make phone calls, right? You can track your diet, you can deposit a check, you can find your son, you can even learn a new language on your phone. Now, Antonia is going to take us through a tour of that little device that's probably in your hand right now, you know it, or in your pocket, or you're looking for it. And Antonia is going to show us how phones are shaping the lives of Latinos.
Wait. But before we get into it, do you remember when you had your first phone?
So I'm trying to think about this, Antonia, and I actually remember the first time I went out on assignment with a cell phone. And that was, it must have been like 93-ish, maybe. NPR, there was a breaking news story and they sent me out with, you know, we had one cell phone for the entire New York Bureau of NPR. It weighed like 25 pounds. It was huge, you know, like in the thickest part of it, it was actually, it was like an inch or maybe an inch and a half thick, like where the battery stuck out. but I was so cool. I had a phone.
Learning about people as cool as Maria when we come back.